You were there at the very beginning of Orchestra Next, is that correct?
Yeah, Sarah Veans and I co-founded Orchestra Next in 2012.
What made that project come together?
I asked Riley Grannon, who was the executive director of the ballet at the time, which orchestra he was having play live for them for the Nutcracker. He responded that since the crash of 2008, that they were unable to have live music. And I just said something kind of stupid. I said, well, how about I'll start an orchestra for you? And he said, okay. And so... So we started this band, and the band has two primary goals. First, of course, is to bring live music to as many shows at the ballet and other productions that we can. We work with the U of O Theater. We're even doing an opera at the U of O this year. And we sometimes even work, as crazy as it sounds, with track and field events. Our second goal is as important, and that's to provide musical mentorship to aspiring professional musicians. So it's a training orchestra, and there's nothing like it around. We're very proud of the model, and our students, we've served over 300 students so far. Our students seem to have a great time, and I know that our professionals who are doing the mentoring, they feel pushed and they feel inspired. I've said this many times, but I really do think that Orchestra Next is the single most important project in my career.
Orchestra Next and the Eugene Ballet are going to perform Swan Lake with live music for the first time in the Eugene Ballet's history. Can you talk a little bit about what it's been like to put those two ensembles together, both the ballet and the orchestra?
For the first time in the ballet's history, we're performing live music to Swan Lake. This is a piece that Tony Pimble choreographed a long time ago, but they've always had to do it with recorded music. To a lot of people, I think, you know, if you say you're playing Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake, that basically means, oh, there's a score, there's all these parts, and it just kind of comes in this neat little box, and you just kind of perform it. Not so in ballet. If you're doing a symphony, there's no question that's likely what would happen. Ballet is really much more of a fluid dynamic. What we are accustomed to with Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake, it's not exactly what Tchaikovsky wrote. It went through massive changes after he died with the conductor that was at this Imperial Ballet in Russia that changed how all of these things kind of fit together. Fast forward 100 years, 100 more years, to one of Tony Pimble's teachers who used a version of it. And even Tony has done some changes. So actually, there were 80 changes from the original score to what we do now. And that took all summer for Sarah Veans and myself to kind of put together a score and all the parts.
There's something really transformative about playing specifically for dancers. What has that process been like for you?
I mean, it kind of contextualizes music in some way, right?
Yeah.
For me, as a classically trained musician, dance was never really something we would think about. It's funny that this was Tchaikovsky's first ballet. Mm-hmm. He was widely criticized for his original version as not really particularly danceable. It was, I think the comment was that it was foreboding and a little heavy. It's so interesting how, now for me, as a conductor in the ballet, I get to kind of work with the musicians who are in the pit. They can't see the dance. There's no interface there. Dancers can hear the music, of course, but the musicians can't see anything that's going on. But I am that conduit that tries to make physical sense of the music in a way. I love music as a functional part of dance. You know, the dancers on stage feel it. When we're really swinging with them, they feel it and they dance better. There's something really important to me, of course, about that live component. It would be quite a different dance if it was not live music, if it was recorded music. There's something missing. Now, if you get a band in there, something is really there and vital and vibrant and human.
If you think about when you play with a metronome versus when you play with other people, there's this push and pull that really creates a dialogue in the music.
In our field, in the classical arts, we often assume that the audience wants to come and they're wanting to see perfection. I think that's wrong. I think myself, too, when I go to a show, I want to see, I want to hear, I want to feel an interaction. I'm less interested in perfection. If I wanted perfection, there's plenty of places I can go. But the reason we go to performing arts, I think, is to see humanness unfold.